Today we have a special guest with us. A lot of us already know him and have met him over the years. Jason Laffin is here to talk to us a little bit about what's going on at Casas por Cristo. Come on up, Jason.
Thanks, Gary. Well, good morning. I'm glad to be here this morning. I was looking back over the last couple days as I was getting my notes ready and thinking about what I was going to say. And I was like, how long have I been coming to First Christian? And 8 years it has been. And every year I come, I kind of see some more familiar faces and meet a few more people. And one thing is different this year than in any year in the past. And that is that something changed between last June and this June. And that was that I met 18 of you on my turf in Mexico this past December, and we had a great time working and serving together for Veronica and Ishmael. A lot of you probably have heard their stories and how it impacted them from the week, and it was a unique experience for me. I have built almost 300 homes, led 300 mission trips, and in the almost 20 years that I've been doing ministry full-time at Casas. And our build ended, and we all left, and it was a mountaintop high, which we'll talk a little bit about at the end here, but it was an experience that was just an amazing week. It was a little chilly, but we all served and we worked. And a couple days later, the quick story behind that was we found out through the week that Ishmael and Veronica had one twin bed that they used to sleep on. So that meant one of them would sleep on the floor in a chair, and then the other one would sleep in the bed. And when we asked them what they needed, they wanted another twin bed so they could sleep in a bed in the same room together. And so some folks on the team had taken up some money, and they were going to buy them a bed. And it was right around the timing of New Year's. So in Mexico, a lot of the stores closed for several days, and our furniture store was closed. So David, who's one of our field coordinators there in Acuna, said, I'll come back next week when they're open and buy them a bed. And he texted me. It was a Sunday morning. I remember because I texted Alan, who was our team leader, and David told me, he said that, Jason, I just saw Ishmael, went by the house to make sure that this is what they wanted. And he told me that Veronica passed away last night. She was 48, and she had a heart attack, and that was it. And it was just, it shocked me a little bit. And I remember thinking about it as like, that's never happened. And God, like, what is to be said in this? And one of the verses that I later was reading that I just, this question that I posed to the Lord, later on, sometimes you ask and then, you know, months down the road, you kind of read a verse and then he brings it back to your memory, that question you asked, and you're like, oh, that's my answer. Well, mine was in Romans 15. And I just wanted to share because it was, for those of us that spent the week with her, we got to know her and got to be close with her family, and just our heart was for them. So it was, you know, one of those things like you feel like you lost somebody that you knew pretty well, even though we only knew him for a week. But it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's this verse, is that we see God is described here. One of his attributes is that he is a God of hope. And what I love about that is what he then tells us what this God of hope wants for us. And he wants for us to be so full of joy and peace that it's literally coming out of us, and the people who are around us can see this joy and this hope that we have. And it was my answer because I felt like in that week that we were doing that, the people that I met here and that I served with, we had a peace that we knew we were doing the right thing. And we had a joy that as we were serving this family, that we were doing what God wanted. And that was contagious to them. You know, one of the things I thought when I reflected on it is, you know, I mean, I like to think I'm going to live a long time. I'm going to see my kids grow up or see my grandkids and spend time with them and do this work for a long time. But the truth is that I don't know if today's my last day or if it's 40 years from now. And all I can do, though, is take peace in the fact that if I'm doing what God wants and giving joy and giving and peace and this hope that he speaks about, that people's lives will be changed. And so while it was tragic and sad that Veronica passed, I just felt in my time of reflection that God had her in a spot where she saw peace and she saw joy from you who came and did that. And personally, when I want to go, I would love for it to be on that circumstance and in that emotion that I was connected with a father who loves me and provided for me through these strangers. And so it was a great week. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about her. If you missed that week, there may be something coming up that you might want to be a part of next time, but we'll get into that a little bit further. But Ron had asked me, which also is starting to become a pattern. This is my second year in a row that Ron's not here. You guys see him next week. You tell him that I'm starting to get a complex that he's avoiding me or something. But Ron had asked me, he said, Jason, this is what I want you to do. I want you just to share about Casas por Cristo. Don't preach. That's my job. He didn't really tell me that, but he did want me to share. He did want me to share about Casas. And so this morning I've been thinking over the last month, what do I want to share? What do I want to tell? And we only have a little bit of time. So unfortunately, can't tell you every story, everything that I'm excited about that we're doing. If you want to know those things, then come on a trip with me and then we'll spend a week together and then you can ask me a lot of questions. Everybody knows I like to talk, right? So I'll talk nonstop to you. But this morning we have got something going on that we have been working for 2 years. And it's going to come to pass in January. And so what we are doing is, to give you a little backstory, our ministry, Casas por Cristo, stands for Houses for Christ. And we build homes for families and as an extension of the local church. So every family is sponsored by a pastor in that community. And then we come and serve. So you don't need to speak Spanish to be there to build a house. But that pastor is sharing the gospel with them and explaining to them why Americans would come and build them a home. And it's because of the love of Christ that we have in our hearts. On average, over 2 people come to a faith-filled commitment to Christ. That means by the measurement we use, they are in church actively every single week as a result of our houses. So this year we're going to build a little over 300 homes. That means over 600 people will accept Jesus Christ and come and follow him and be involved in a local church. I'll take those returns any day. Those are good numbers that validates what we're doing as a ministry. So our mission statement is really simple, and you could even probably memorize this and then tell it to me next year. It's 3 words. It's build and serve. So we build for families. We serve families. We serve the church. We serve the churches in the U.S. that come. And everything we do falls underneath that. So we have a vision that's underneath the build and serve. And I've talked about that before, but it's to refresh your memory. It's to be in 12 additional countries other than the Mexico, Guatemala, and Dominican Republic that we're in right now. It is to do ministry in those countries. Take the model that we have, help the churches in those countries, and allow the American church to see more of what God is doing across the world as we offer trips there. So we've been working. There's some things we needed to do infrastructure-wise to make that happen, and we've been working to get to that point. Hopefully we'll have those things finished. But whether we do or not, our first country on our list is Nicaragua. And in January, we are going to be building in that country. Now, it's kind of personal for me. I'm not moving to Nicaragua, but I have been involved since the very first trip we took, since the planning stages, where we made our checklist on the things we needed to know to make this place happen. And I wanted to just tell you that story. So we started off in a leadership meeting every morning. Our leaders of our ministry, every Monday morning, our leaders meet together. We pray. We talk about the things that we need to talk about for our ministry that are going to be coming up. And in this particular meeting, our executive director, David, he says, I've been thinking about we need to take a trip in late summer to look at the next country we'll go to. Now, we always have this ongoing conversation of where we're going to go next. And there's been countries like Cuba and Peru and Chile and Ecuador. There's been Honduras. One of the countries that has never come up has been Nicaragua, like never come up. And so he says, I'm thinking about Nicaragua. So we're all like, Nicaragua? Like, who do we know in Nicaragua? And one of the main things we do is we partner with other ministries that are already established there to help protect us from people taking advantage of what we're doing, but to have a partner with somebody with a good reputation that can help us get the ministry started correctly in the beginning. And so he said, I've gotten like 3 phone calls over the last few weeks from people in Nicaragua asking if we would come check out what they're doing to see if we would be willing to. So we planned this trip to Nicaragua, and he said, hey, if any of you guys have contacts or missionaries, let me know, because we want to schedule to visit them. So we went on this trip. Well, a couple weeks before the trip happened, I had told David a few months before, I don't know anyone in Nicaragua. Like, I don't even know where Nicaragua is on the map, much less any missionaries that are down there or ministries that are going on. So we, 2 weeks before the trip, I'm driving to work. I'm thinking about, okay, we got this trip coming up, and I'm kind of just, my mind's running down the rabbit holes of where it's at. And all of a sudden, like, I remember this conversation that I have had every summer for like 4 years. And there's a friend of mine, his name's Carlos, and Carlos goes to Fayetteville Christian Church, just like an hour up the road here. He is, that's my home church where I grew up and, met Kevin and Brenda, and that's where that's where they launched me out of there into this ministry. And they come and do trips with us, and Carlos is a member, and he's from El Salvador, and he came to the States and started working for a guy named Evander Holyfield, who you may have heard of. He took care of his estate and his property, and then he started a little business kind of doing those same things. And what Carlos does is he takes all the money that he makes and he puts it in this ministry that he has in El Salvador and Nicaragua. Well, every summer I go, just like I do here, and speak at the different churches that support us. And so every summer Carlos would come to me and say, Jason. He would say, Brother Jason, in his Spanish accent. He would say, when is Casas por Cristo going to come to Nicaragua? And so Carlos and I have this very blunt, direct form of communication. I'd say, Carlos, we're never coming to Nicaragua. Like, we have no plans to come to Nicaragua. When we do have plans, you'll be the first one. I'll let you know. And that conversation went through my head. We literally had this conversation 4 years in a row. Well, I didn't tell David about Carlos. So, as the story goes, I then told David, hey, I know this guy. I know we're 2 weeks out. And so he calls Carlos. Carlos says, I think I can be down there the same time you're down there. I would love to show you. Well, we'd already planned out the week, and we had just the last day had some flexibility where we're like, all right, the last day we'll go to your place. And so as we're there for the week, we went out to we're in the capital, which is kind of right in the middle of the country, and we kind of went out to the different ministries and missionaries and nationals that we saw, met them, asked them questions, and the last day was Carlos. So he met us in Managua, and we rode together to where he was going. As we drove, we were on the state highway, the main interstate that they had. Then we went to like this 2-lane state road. Then it kind of turned into just a country road. And then we turned off on a dirt road through some farmland. And then we drove on that for a while. I mean, it was like over 2.5 hours. And later, as I was talking to David and Justin, the other guy, missionary with Casas that went with us, we were thinking the same thing, that this is too far for us to drive with our groups. Like, it's twice as long as any other locations from the airport to where we're going. Well, we turned down this country road, and then we kind of popped up on the Pacific coast, and we're following this road along the shore through these villages where the local community fished for a living. Well, that road eventually turned into a road. You know the old roads you've seen where the tire tracks are there and the grass is in the middle? Like, we're on one of those roads. And at this point, you know, I'm one of the things I'm not known for is just speaking the first thing that comes to my mind a lot of times. That's not necessarily a good thing, but sometimes I do that. So I'm like, Carlos, where are you taking us? Well, Brother Jason, you know, I asked the Lord the same thing the first time I came all the way out here. And I'm like, are there people at the end of this road? And those tracks disappeared. And then we're all of a sudden, like, kind of driving through the woods, basically. And we popped up in this little community called Padre Ramos. And in Padre Ramos, we came up to this building. It was a decent sized structure, and it was elevated about 12 feet in the air. So it was, the top part had like 20, 25 bunk beds. It had some bathrooms, little kitchen area and stuff. And so where he's given us a tour. And so I said, Carlos, like, what is this? Like, how long you had this building? He said, well, I just finished building it 2 months ago. And I said, oh, really? So what do you use it for? Well, I've been building it, I've been having meetings here, and because there's no church in this community, and I've been inviting people and I've been preaching. As I'm working in the nights, I'll preach, and in the day I'll work, and I hire a couple local men to help me as I work. And I was like, oh, that's pretty neat. Well, why do you have bunk beds here then? What are we going to do with those? Well, groups are going to come stay here and do mission trips. Oh, so you have groups that come and stay? No, I've never had a single group come and stay. Well, so do you have groups that want to come stay? Well, not yet. And I said, so you just built this building and you have no groups that are going to come stay. And he says this to me. I'm not even kidding. David and Justin can verify it. He says, God told me that Casas was going to come build houses in Nicaragua and I needed to have this place ready so there would be groups, a place for the groups to stay. Now, people have made a lot of comments and stuff. And, you know, sometimes people say things and you're like, they're crazy. But when he says this, I thought to myself, like, I just had one of those moments where you're kind of like, wham, right in the heart. You're like, that's a lot of faith, a lot of faith to put this money out of your pocket, to come down here month after month for years and build this thing on a idea that God has placed in your heart that this is what's going to happen. Needless to say, when we regrouped that night, we all three unanimously agreed that this place was perfect for the type of ministry we wanted to do. So I have a little video of Carlos because he is a real person and he will tell you a little bit of that too. But I wanted to show it to you this morning and then just, you know, kind of give you a couple points to follow up on. But watch this video with me, please.
I started praying when I first got here, and I thought about you guys, about the ministry, and I said, Casa por Cristo can do something here. Yeah, my name is Carlos Dimas, and I am original from El Salvador, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, you know, when I came here the first trip, we came and preached and evangelized. But then the Lord spoke to me, and I feel like He wants to do something else in the area. And that's why we bought this land and built this church mission center. First came here and walk around the community. I saw the needs of their houses. They're not houses. They're plastic around their little four poles and plastic around. And I knew Casas por Cristo because we traveled different places with you guys, and I pray, you know, for Casas to come down to Padre Ramos. And here we are. When I first got here, and I thought about you guys, about the ministry, and I said, Casa por Cristo can do something here. And I start praying, but answer after 7 years.
Hermanos, aquí en Padre Ramos, Padre Santo. En el nombre poderoso de Jesús, Señor Eterno, yo te pido que toque.
Look, the Lord is the one who got me. And he got me to buy this land here, and we built a mission center. And I'm wondering, you know, why we're building this? He wanted to teach here. So we have somebody teaching here, and now he gave me the vision to do, you know, like a center for missionaries. And here it is. See, the Casas por Cristo, it will be a really big blessing for the community, the church, and the pastors, because the people, when they will see a house built, they will say that then they probably start believing in Jesus, you know, because Jesus is bringing this ministry, Casa por Cristo, here to build. And that's what Casa can do. Well, my dream for Casa por Cristo Nicaragua is to see that this, when I walk to this community here before, and still I see these houses, like I tell you, plastic around. But then after years, probably I'll see a Casa por Cristo house.
Or a lot.
Oh, a lot. Casa por Cristo. And that would be a very, very, very blessed.
So that's Carlos's words telling you kind of what I told you as well. He is he's a great guy. I love him very much, and he has a heart for these people like nobody else. And one of the things he's done is he's gone around into the neighboring little communities, and he's found the pastors of the churches there, and he's kind of brought a little network together. And so right now we're in the point where we've already had several meetings, monthly meetings with our pastors, and we've handed out applications. They have started to turn them in, and starting in May, our first few applications come in, and we're putting them in the system. And so in January, I'm going to lead the very first home with Carlos and with our home church, Fayetteville. And we're excited about it. We have a goal, and this is why I wanted to tell you, because I want as many people to pray for this work that we're trying to do as possible. And so I believe that this is something that the enemy doesn't want us to do, because every house we build, if two people come to the Lord, that's just two more people that just infuriates him. And quite honestly, it's just best to keep him always in a state of being angry. And so, because it means we're doing things for the Lord. And I want you to pray for what we're doing. We have been purchasing tools and kitchen supplies and things we'll need. We have a container that in August is going to ship out to Nicaragua with the mattresses and the sheets and the towels and all the things we need for groups to stay there and be housed there. We have two families that are going to be, one's in the Dominican with us now and one's in Guatemala. They're going to be moving there, living there full time and keeping that whole operation going for us. And so if you guys, you know, just simply pray for what we're doing in Nicaragua. You know, one of the things I think that God calls us to do is to pray for the people and the things that are going on around us. So I'm excited about what we're going to be doing. I can't wait to come back and tell you about the success that we've had next summer. Hopefully I'll see some of you in the spring. So there's my thing I was leading with here. We have an opportunity. I was talking with Alan yesterday, and he's like, "Hey, Jason, I'm not going to be there. He's out of town working, unfortunately." But he said, "I want you to let everybody know that we're working on a trip this next spring to go back to Mexico to lead." And so this morning, I wanted to just kind of leave you with a couple practical things. That's me, Mr. Practical. One is make sure you pray for us in Nicaragua, and the second one is to challenge you personally. And here's what I want to challenge you with. So I got three verses. One of the things I like to do is I like to read books that kind of help me, like I learn something that makes me better at what I'm doing, whatever it is, all kinds of stuff. I'd be embarrassed to tell you what I'm reading because some of them are just straight weird. But, you know, nothing like not. Anyway, that sounds kind of bad. I'll just stop because I'm digging a deeper hole than I should be. But one of the things that every one of these authors seem to have is they know some secret that's going to make your life better that you didn't know about before. Like every one of them have like this little caveat that they say. And I think that this thought that I want to share with you right here at the end is a thing that will radically change your life. That as I have lived since I graduated college doing this ministry, this is the one truth that of everything I've learned that stands out far away as I serve, or everything that I know and do, and I see it every day as I serve where I'm at. So I've got three verses that I want to string together, 1, 2, and 3. And it goes all the way back. The first one will go to the very first book of the Bible, very first chapter of the Bible. And it is Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So Ron, if you're listening to this, I'm not preaching. I'm just giving a conclusion to my stuff, Ron. But verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So we see when God created us, me and you, whether you're male or female, he created us in his image. Okay? So I want you to put that thought in there. You've heard that before. It's nothing revolutionary. Okay? I'm not changing your life with the fact that you're created in God's image. Hopefully, if I am, then congratulations, you're created in the life, you're created in the image of a living God. That's pretty powerful. The other verse is in the New Testament, and it's in Mark 10:45. I love this verse. I've told you this verse before. I probably will tell it to you again. This verse is also found in Matthew. And just real quick, from my Bible college education, it cost a lot, so I feel like I need to use it sometime. But if something is in one gospel, it's really important. If that same thought or those same words are in more than one gospel, it's even more important. There's very few things that repeat even more than once across Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is in Matthew and Mark, and it's describing from Jesus' own words what he says about himself. And he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served." That's part one. "But," which we know is a conjunction, so there's something after it, "but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So the first part is, or the second part is, Jesus came and died for our sins. John 3:16, the whole reason we're all sitting here today is he redeemed us, right? We've known that forever. But that part right before it, he says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And then he says, "And," so Jesus did two things. He died for your sins, and he came to serve. All right, so here's where we're gonna pull these together real quick. So we're created in the image of God. Like, we are his image created, right? And Jesus is God. He came down from earth. And what is it? I'm not going to read all the other verses, but what did Jesus do? Jesus came and he did the will of the Father. He did only what he saw the Father tell him to do, right? He struggled in Gethsemane because he knew what God wanted him to do, to die on the cross, and he wanted him to take that from him, but he didn't, and he went to the cross obediently and ultimately for our sins. So he wants us to serve, right? So we're created in his image, and he was a God, and he served other people. So that is our calling. So my challenge to you is to come on the trip. Now, I don't know if you're going to come and serve other people, but I want to just tell you this. This is the part that's going to change for you, I hope, is that we always think of serving as us going out and doing something for somebody else. It's a one-way street, if you will. It's always out. Me, if I'm serving somebody, I'm doing something for somebody else. And that's where it goes. And then that person on the other end, they're the ones receiving and they're the ones getting. And that's just not true. And I can promise you it's not true, because Ephesians, Paul writes in here. So we have Moses wrote in Genesis. He wrote the first verse. Jesus spoke the second verse. And Paul, I'm going to read you what he says about it. So we've got all three of the big players in the Bible commenting on this. And so in chapter 2, I'm going to just read this last part for you. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." So Paul is setting us up and telling us, we're terrible sinners, and we were dead in our transgressions. We've heard these things, right? And he's going to flip it for us. And so he says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that, this is the part I want you to hear, in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So He starts by telling us we're sinners. He ends by telling us you were created to do good works in advance. That's what you were called to do, whether you do them or not. But right in the middle, He tells us why we are supposed to do these things. Because God wants to show us His incomparable riches and pour that out on your life. So don't hear me wrong and hear me today telling you that you're going to be filthy rich. I mean, I've been doing it 20 years and I'm not filthy rich. So that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that His grace, when you serve someone and you put out, it comes back, right? What that does is you can, I have 18 people here that can testify to this, which I'm glad I have some witnesses, that they can tell you that when you serve somebody else, doesn't have to be Casas por Cristo, even though I love this ministry wholeheartedly and believe it is a good work. I also believe this church is a good work. I believe that this church supports ministries in this community and beyond that are also good works. But when you serve someone else, you are doing what you were created and designed by a living God to do. And when you do that, it goes out. It comes back because God is able to pour out His riches on your life. His grace will come back and extend on you. So here's my challenge. I want you to come on a trip with us. I want you to serve with us. I also want to tell you that when you decide you're going to do it, if you're thinking this right now, I want some of these riches of God poured out on my life. If you're thinking that, you're going to have conversations with yourself that you don't have the money. You don't have the time off. You can't build a house. I got some people here that have come on a trip that they helped contribute, build a house, who I'm pretty sure they thought themselves, I don't know if there's going to be much I can do. You can serve and you can do that. And so I want to challenge you to prayerfully consider it. Allow God to use you and change you for somebody else. This morning I'm going to close in prayer, but just before I do, I want to say just thank you so much for me. From me and my family, you guys keep us on the mission field, literally. Like, you literally provide money for us to do that, and a great amount that it is impactful for us to keep doing what we're doing. And so we are so grateful for you doing that, and for those who give and make that happen, we just say thank you very much. It was a great week this past December, and I can't wait to meet more and have that experience together. And so this morning as I close, would you just pray with me? And then we'll have the band come and lead us out of here. Father, we thank you this morning for your grace, for your goodness, for what you're doing across the world. Through Casas por Cristo, through First Christian Church, through all of the ministries that your heart and your eyes are on. Father, I thank you for that. God, I thank you that you created us in your image. I thank you that you have given us a template to follow, to serve you, and to be obedient for you. God, I thank you that your grace can be poured out on us. Father, bring that message alive in the hearts of the people here today to follow you and serve you. And God, I just pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jason. This morning, as in every Sunday, we offer a time for you to come forward. If you have a prayer you want us to pray with you about, if you have something going on in your life that you just need help with, we want to pray with you. We just say, come forward during this song and come forward here. Have a seat and someone will meet with you and find out what's going on. If you want to be a Christian, become a Christian today. Want to find more about this church. Come as we sing. Let's stand.